Morning. Will you join with me in prayer, please? Almighty God, thank you for allowing us to come together this morning in your name as your body with Christ as the head. I ask that you be with me this morning. Let me only speak your words. I ask that you be with the congregation. Let them receive your words. Let us take these words, put them in our hearts so that we can grow closer to you, so that we can be more obedient and show our love to you. I ask that you just reveal yourself to us this morning as we meet with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, my name is Jimmy Brandt. Pastor Mike is, as Dennis said earlier, he is preaching for the Korean congregation next door. They called him last week, and then he gave me a yell, and I'm very honored to bring the message to you this morning. How many of you noticed that we're going to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, twice this morning? Renee, you don't count because you knew what I was doing anyways. Please don't gripe at the music committee or Dennis or anyone else because that was at my request this week. You're actually going to hear the song three times. And no, I'm not going to sing it to you. I normally keep notes as the pastor speaks, and I have a notebook with me on the back row, and I write things down as we're here in church, and I'm horrible at times, so I don't know. A month ago, 2 months ago, we were singing that hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit. What a great sermon this song is. And as I prepared to preach, I turned to the back of my notebook and glanced, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. And, you know, I was thinking about that even as the choir was just singing. And I know a couple of you have this too because you've told me, but my hearing is weird in that if I have two competing noises, I only get to understand one of them. So I had two competing things this morning. I had the piano and the choir. I couldn't understand most of the words the choir was saying. But I could hear it, but I can't understand it. And that's just the way my hearing works. I don't know why, you know, but, you know, I was thinking about this morning and as I prepared for the sermon, do we listen to the words that we're singing in here? Because these hymns have some very, very powerful messages. And we're using these hymns to praise God's name, but there's also a message in there that we can use to live. And this morning in our Sunday school class, we talked about having a foundation, and that really wasn't the title of the lesson. But our foundation is so, so important. You know, do we come in here Sunday and we do our things that we're supposed to do on Sunday? We treat each other like we're supposed to on Sunday. We act the way we're supposed to on Sunday. And then tomorrow when I go to work, how am I acting? Do I take off my Sunday clothes and go, okay, I'm Jimmy of the world today, and I'm going to act like the world? You know, we talked about a foundation, and our foundation should be the Bible. It should be God's teachings. It should be God's will. So tomorrow when I'm going to work, I'm not going to act any differently than I did today because my foundation is Christ. When I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to start off the day saying, God, here I am. Use me today. Show me where you want me to be, how you want me to act. Who can I minister to today? Let me watch for that today. That shouldn't be just a Sunday thing for me or a Wednesday night thing for me. That should be my foundation for how I'm going to live. And I think this hymn talks about that. And I'll give you a little bit of history about it. It was written by Adelaide Pollard in 1907. And she believed that the Lord wanted her as a missionary in Africa, but she couldn't raise the funds to go. And in an uncertain state of mind, she attended a prayer meeting where she heard an elderly woman pray, "It's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your own way with us." At home that night, she wrote this hymn that we just sang, Have Thine Own Way. So I want to go through this hymn. This might be a little bit different than what you're used to, but I want to take this hymn and apply the Bible to it and apply it to our lives. Normally we just take verses and explain the verses, but I want to use the verses to explain the hymn. And I would challenge you to do this as we sing these hymns each week. Look at it and see the message there. Because, I mean, these are great hymns. A lot of them are like almost like love letters to God. You know, I was kind of thinking this week. You know, have you ever written a love letter to God? I can't write as eloquently as Adelaide did here, but I can still write a love letter to God. I can express my feelings to Him. Sometimes it might not be a love letter. Sometimes it might be a cry for help. But I can put this down in writing and use this to speak to God. And I challenge you once again to look at these hymns as we sing them and see how they apply. Not just sing it, because we're going to sing it twice today. I'm definitely not listening the second time. I'm just going to read the words and try to follow Dennis and go along. No, please. Look at the words and apply them to Scripture and to your life. So it starts off, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And it's on page 294 again if you want to follow in the hymnal. And then I'm going to also have Bible verses to go with it. But in Matthew 16:24, and if you were in Bible study this morning, you had this verse already this morning, but I'm going to hit it again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. She wasn't talking about God, go over here and deal with Tom. You know, deal with Sue. Deal with Lisa. You know, go deal with them, but not me. She was talking about have thine own way with me. Remember, she wanted to be, she felt led to be a missionary in Africa. She couldn't get the funds. And she came to that point in her life where she understood, God, have your way with me in my life. And that wasn't just on Sunday. She wanted that every day. We need to have that. And that's the verse we just read. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That was Christ talking. Okay? How many of you know what a 21-foot Triton boat is with a 225 Optimax? Okay? If you was in my class, you'd know what it was. That's the boat I want. You know? And I use it as a joke in my class anymore. I am not chasing after that boat, okay? I'll tell you that right now. But I want that boat. I could catch more fish if I had that boat. You know? I could get to my fishing spot faster if I had that boat. Of course, all that's a lie. I wouldn't be able to afford to go fishing because that thing's heavy and it's cost a lot to drag it to the lake. And then I got insurance and then I got to drive it on the lake and gas cost a lot. That's, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. What does God want me to do? If I'm chasing after things that I want, where's God's will in my life? So we need to come to the point where we're saying, God, have thine own way with me. Have thine own way with me. We see that throughout the Bible. You know, we say, you know, if I said, how many of you want to see more people saved? You know, we're all going to raise our hands. But for us to do that, for the church to grow, for us to be effective in the community, for us to be effective in the world, we're going to have to let Christ have His way in our lives. Because all I do is get in the way. Okay? I did that one time where I was going out and doing things for God. I'm going to go do this for God today, and I'm going to do this for God today, and I'm going to do this for God today. And then He'd say, Jimmy, I want you to do this. And I'd go, oh, I already got these three things I got to do for you. That's not God telling me to do something. I'm already busy doing stuff for Him. And finally, I evaluated my life and I said, where's the fruits? I did this, this, and this, and I don't see anything happening. Something's wrong. What am I doing wrong? And I realized I was the wrong. I wasn't following God. I wasn't letting God have His way. I was having Jimmy's way, thinking that I was doing right. So when I let God have His own way and I did what He told me to do and then did what He told me to do and did what He told me to do, then I got to see fruit. because I was following God. Jimmy, get out of the way. Let God drive. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Visualize the pottery wheel. I'm sure everybody's seen, I don't know much about making pottery and everything, but we've all seen at least one time where they've got that wheel spinning around with the clay on it, and they're making something out of it, and then the new guys who don't know what they're doing, the clay goes flying off the wheel, you know, but somebody who knows what they're doing, they're making that nice bowl, they're making that nice cup or whatever, they know what they're doing. And what is the clay doing? It's just sitting there following whatever the person does. If I push harder here, the clay yields and makes a different design. If I pull out a little bit because I'm pushing in from the inside, then it does that. You know, we need to be the clay. We need to be sitting there waiting for God to mold us into that usable vessel that He'd have us be. And then I was thinking about this. What if the clay could think and the master potter is trying to make a bowl and the clay goes, I want to be a cup. So the potter's doing this stuff and the clay's going, no, I want to be a cup. Then what's going to happen? We're going to have a mess. If that clay could think and it didn't want to be the bowl, we'd have a mess because one person's trying to make it into a bowl, the other person is trying to make a cup. Think about that in our lives. If we're not being the clay that's sitting there saying, whatever you want, have thine own way, you make me, God, into what you want me to be. If we're not doing that, then it's going to be a mess. If we're saying, no, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to teach. I don't want to pray for people. I don't want to share your word with people. I don't want to follow your will. We're going to make a mess out of it. Because God's not a very good potter. He is like the ultimate perfect potter. As long as the clay yields to Him, it's going to be a perfect vessel when He gets finished. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of an out. We're not perfect, and we're not going to follow God perfectly. But as soon as we catch ourselves messing up, wanting to be a cup instead of a bowl, we go back and we repent, we pray, and we turn our lives back over. We don't go, oh, I can't do nothing now. I'm going to go lay in the corner and cry because I disobeyed God. No, we get up, we talk to God, we pray, ask for forgiveness, and let Him start working on turning us into that vessel again. But if we go after our own desires, then God can't mold us in that vessel. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Matthew 7:19. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You know, she's saying, you know, and I don't think we want to pray this. Sunday school answer will say, yeah, I'm going to pray this. But I think when we first think about it, we're like, I'm not praying that. I'm not going to do that. God, I want you to look inside me. Search my soul. Clear out those imperfections. I want you to show me that sin that I still harbor in my heart. That little pet sin that I have that I don't want to get rid of. I want you to remind me of that because I've hardened my heart enough where I don't even think about it anymore and I just commit it. God, search me. Show me that sin so I can get it out of the way, so I can get that little air bubble out of that perfect vessel that you're making. Show me where it is so I can fix it. Try me. After we get finished with the bowl, this isn't what God does with Christians. We're going to put it inside this real pretty showcase and close the doors and you can look at it. It's pretty, ain't it? But you can't touch it. No, God wants to make us into that vessel and use us for the betterment of His kingdom. I mean, what good is it? I'm going to go sit up here. You know what? I know all these Bible verses and I know how to explain to you how to get saved. And I'm going to go sit up here behind the glass and I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to sit here. See how pretty I am? What are you laughing about, Lisa? You know, that's not what God's making. That's not what God's doing. He's making vessels to be used by Him to grow His kingdom. I recently was invited to join the Gideons. Did you know there's 4 billion people in the world who haven't heard God's word yet? Now, I know we all want to say, there's no way, that's not true. It's true, there's 4 billion people that haven't heard God's word yet. But we have an opportunity as Christians to be vessels used by God to help spread the word. Or we can be a cup instead of the bowl that God wants us to be and be a mess. Or we can become a bowl and go hide behind the showcase. But when we say, God, try me. Try me. Search me and try me. When I say try me, I'm saying use me. You've turned me into this bowl. I'm not a real good one yet. I still need to be molded a little bit more, and maybe I can stay in the fire a little bit longer and be hardened a little bit more, so I'm better. Try me. Use me. You know, God wants to use us. And when I first say that, you might think, oh, that's scary. You know, I don't want to be used. You know, that's scary stuff. I'm going to have to go out and do some work. If you've ever done something that God's asked you to do, I will bet that you got a blessing out of it. Even if it didn't turn out the way you wanted. Once again, we need to stay in the potter's hands. Jimmy, I want you to go witness to this person. Okay, well, here's what I expect then. I expect this to happen and this to happen. No. I'm still in the potter's hand while I'm witnessing to that person. I'm still in the potter's hand while I'm ministering that person. I'm still in the potter's hand while I'm helping that person mow their grass, while I'm bringing a meal to them, while I'm sharing with them. Whatever. I'm still in the potter's hand. That's the cool thing. I'm always in the potter's hand. When I come out of it, I got problems. When I stay in the potter's hand, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And it's a continual molding process. You know, I like the example of we're babies in Christianity when we get saved. Now we need to mature. Okay? We're that bowl on the potter's wheel, and God's continuously molding us into this perfect vessel. Continuously working on us. It may be a long process, but as long as we're there in His wheel, He's going to keep us going in the right direction. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. In Revelation 7:14, and He said unto me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. How many times have you shared with somebody the plan of salvation? They said, I'm not good enough. Yeah. Some of us think that today, even after we're saved. I'm not good enough for God to use me. I've messed up before. I'm not smart enough. I don't speak well enough. If I thought that, I wouldn't be able to talk to you because I got a funny accent up here. Where I came from, my accent was fine. You guys have the accent. But now I got the funny accent. Okay? It's not about that. Jesus washed me. I didn't do anything. I can't get rid of my sins. I can't go out and do this, and this to atone for my sins. Jesus died on the cross so that my sins could be washed away. And all I had to do was say, yes, I accept that free gift of salvation from you, Lord. I turn my life over to you, Lord. I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm turning away from those sins. I'm going to try not to repeat them. But Jesus is the one who washed me. I didn't get out the soap, wash it off. You can't do it. Jesus died on that cross for my sins. His blood washed them away. Next part says, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Now, how often do we come before God humbly? How often do we bow down before God? When I was young, we went to a Catholic church. I kind of like the fact that we got down on our knees and prayed in church. Sometimes I wish we had those, I don't remember what they were called, but you'd flip them out. They weren't for your feet to rest on. And you'd get down right there in church, in your pew, come down humbly before God on your knees and pray to God right there. You know, we don't like to humble ourselves. I'm Jimmy. I'm a man. I was in the Marine Corps. I was a cop. I'm not coming bowing down before you. I think we do that sometimes. We need to humbly come before God. You know, that's what we're doing this morning. When we were singing, we weren't singing so that we could enjoy it. When the choir was up here singing, that wasn't for our edification. We were coming before God. We were sending praises up to Him. We were trying to be acceptable to Him, to meet with Him this morning as a group that follows Him. We need to come before Him humbly, not proudly. God, give me a job. You know what I've been doing? I've been teaching Sunday school for this many years, and I'm a deacon, and I do this. Give me a job. You know, and we do that sometimes. God, why didn't you heal this person? God, why didn't you give me this? Why didn't you do that? Why don't you make it easier on me at work? I just hate it there. These people are mean. I don't like it. That's not coming humbly for God. In Isaiah 6:1, a lot of this is very familiar, but like I said in the beginning, I think we need to remember our foundation. Because our foundation is what we need to be living off of every day. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I then saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I'm jumping down to 6:5. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." Do we feel that way when we come before God? I mean, this guy was scared. He understood who he was in front of. He understood who he was meeting with. I don't think he would even imagine saying, "God, give me some bread today. I'm hungry." He knew better. He knew, he understood who God, the Jehovah of hosts, was. That's how we need to come before God. That's how we need to come before God right here on Sunday morning. We need to walk through those doors ready to meet with God. You know, I'm not coming in to have fun with my wife and send text messages to her. And even though I can send pictures in my text now, you know, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that this morning. I do want to fellowship with you. I'm glad Dennis said smile. I'm happy to be here. You know, some of you guys don't look like you're happy to be here this morning, but we should be. We should be happy coming to meet with God, coming to fellowship with Christians, like-minded people that want to serve God, that want to see other people come to know God. And we need to come in here humbly. We need to be ready. Even if you don't physically get on your knees, you should be ready to mentally get ready to get on your knees in front of God here this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. In Ephesians 2:10, you know, I don't know why it took me so long to find this verse. And no, I didn't find it this week. I found it a few years ago. But I don't know why it took me so long to find this. Because I knew Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Jimmy, why don't you read the next verse too? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." God already has our works planned. God's got a list. This is kind of how I envision it, okay? This is a Jimmy paraphrase here. He's got a list. Jimmy, I want you to do this and this and this and this and this. I've got things planned for you. You don't have to go out looking for them. I just want you to come humbly before me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be the clay in my hands. And I've got things for you to do. And they are good things. And they're perfect things. And they're going to touch people's lives. And you're going to get blessings as you're allowed to work with me and touch people's lives. I've got a list of them right here. I'm just waiting on you to be obedient and listen to me. It says it right there. You know, God's not telling us, Jack, you're my servant now, and I want you to just figure it out. See you later. Have fun. You know, he doesn't do that. He's got our works planned for us. He's just waiting for us to be obedient. We want the church to grow. What does God say about that? Pray for the harvest. It's ready. We just need the workers. You know, God's got these things ready for us. He's like the perfect project manager. Everything's lined up. Now the resources just need to listen to the project manager and do what they're supposed to do. If not, he's going to go get some other resources to do the work. But these things are already planned out. Have thine own way, Lord. He's got things planned for us. And we think, well, you know, I might not like them. Trust me, you will. You might be uncomfortable at first when he tells you, go to the land that I will show you. You know, I've used this several times. What's the address? Because I need to put it in my time. I'm not just going to start driving down the road. And I know my wife won't go with me because I've said that before. Let's just start driving west and see where we end up. And she's like, are you crazy? We do that sometimes. But God is going to, you know, unlike me, I might take us somewhere really crazy. God's not. He's going to take us to where he's at work. He's going to show us where he's working. And he's going to invite us to join in that work. It's not me doing it. It's God. He's just letting me receive a blessing being a part of it. You guys that are in the prayer study right now, Jim gave me a copy and I did start reading it. And it's talking about being in that relationship with God. That's the same thing we're talking about here. That is our foundation. After you're saved, I know you're in my class, you already heard this morning, and you'll hear it a billion times more. After you're saved, the most important thing you need to do is have that relationship with God. A personal relationship that you have with God. That's what you need. And you're going to get it through prayer and studying His Word. That's how you're going to know His voice. That's how you're going to know what He wants you to do. That's how you're going to have the strength to do it. I'm not a preacher. My first glimpse into public speaking was 12th grade in high school when I walked into my fourth English, because we had to take four Englishes, and I looked around. These are all the smart people in here. What class is this? Oh, this is Honors English 4. Oh, no. Oh, this is my senior year. I ain't working. I heard about this speech class. That sounds pretty easy. Well, you know what we had to do every week? We had to get in front of the class and talk to them. You know, I was scared to death. Now I got to get up here and share with you what God wants you to hear. You talk about scary, because I know what it says in the Bible about if I lead you astray. I know what it says in the Bible about if I don't share with you what God wants me to give to you. Where if I don't warn you about the things God wants you warned about, but because of His power, I can do it. If we rely on me, I think I'd make a PowerPoint, show you some cool videos, and that'd be the end of it. And I wouldn't come up here and preach. But God told me to do something, and I'm willing to say, I can't do it, God, but I know you can. And I'm willing to be obedient and follow in what you want me to do. That's what we need to say. In experiencing God, it says one of the realities of experiencing God is when God tells you to do something, you're going to have a crisis of belief. And what that's saying is you're going to go, no, I can't do it. Okay? And you might be sitting there going, oh, no, I'd never do that. How about Moses? What did he say when I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go? Moses said, hey, let's go. I'm ready. I got my stuff packed up. Is that what Moses said? I don't talk very well. I don't think I'm the right man for this. You probably should pick somebody else. You know, you look throughout the Bible, when God speaks to someone and tells them to do something, there's a crisis of belief. Guess what? We're no better than them, and we do the same thing. So even though you're going to have that hesitancy, you're going to have that fear, get past it and say, you know what, I realize I can't do this, but I believe that God's big enough to do it. And that makes it real easy. If I laid a minefield out here, told you there's a minefield out here, you got two choices. I will walk you out to your car, or we'll go get one of the kids in children's church to walk you out to your car. Which one do you want to walk you to your car? You want me walking you out there, because I'm not going to get blown up, so we're going to go around the mines. The kids don't know where the mines are. Same thing with God. You want God leading you through the minefield, or do you want to just do it on your own? That's the choice you have. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. You know, when I read those, first thing I thought of was Psalms. And I didn't put down any Psalms, any of the verses from Psalms down in my notes. But that was the first thing I thought of. And you can do this later, but go to Psalms and just read the first verse. And turn to the next Psalm and read the first verse. And you hear the psalmist over and over and over. God, forgive me. God, heal me. God, deliver me from my enemies. You're not doing this alone. You're not. We're not walking through this life alone. You know, after walking with Christ all these years, I feel sorry for people who don't know Christ. Because they're going through the same thing I am. They're going through harder things than I am. And who are they depending on to carry them through? Because I can turn to Christ. And I know. I know He'll deliver me. I'm glad you guys are concerned when you come talk to me. I don't have a job right now, for those of you who don't know. And I appreciate your concern, but I'm not concerned. I really am not. And don't raise your eyebrows at me, Renee. I am not concerned. Am I looking for a job? Yes. I'm not just sitting there saying God's going to drop a job in my lap. But I really am not concerned, because God is going to deliver me. God is going to meet my needs. And Renee, of all people, should know this, because, you know, I shared with her years ago. I was like, you know what? The only thing that bothers me about dying is you guys being left without me. And she said, don't you think God can take better care of us than you can? So she should know this better than me. You know, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God is all powerful? Do you really believe that God can heal you? Do you really believe that God can meet you where you are and bring you through that circumstance? Now, in here, we'll go, yeah, I believe it. Tomorrow morning, do you believe it? When you go into work and you don't like it, do you believe it? When your boss yells at you tomorrow, do you believe it? When your money's running tight tomorrow, do you believe it? This really, really needs to be our foundation. This is how we should live, not how we should think. This is, should be how I live. Tomorrow morning, I'm not going to go, oh, man, this is just bad. I don't have a job. And after 30 minutes of worrying about it and doing everything I can, let me go talk to God. No, I need to go to God first. It really should be the way I live. God isn't second best. And when I do that, I'm putting Him second best. I'm the best. I'm going to figure out how to get a job. I'm going to figure out how to pay these bills. And then if I can't do it, I'll go to the second best, who's God. We need to reverse that. We need to go to God. That needs to be our habit. That needs to be the way we do things. Let's see, if I got a problem, what am I going to do first? I'm going to Google it. For those of you who don't know what that means, we're going to go on the internet and go to www.google.com. We're going to type in our question and find it. No. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to take my problems, my praises, my concerns, my fears, everything. I'm going to go to God. I'm not going to Google it first. I'm going to take it to God first. Matthew 9:27, and when Jesus passed on from there, two blind ones followed him, crying and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." I want to stop there and say, I bet you it wasn't a Sunday school yes. It was a yes, I believe it. Yes, I know that you can do this. I know deep down in my heart, without a doubt, that you can do this. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were open. We need to have that faith. We need to believe in that power. We need to believe it in here. Not, yeah, I believe it here. On Sunday morning, I'll tell you that. But what am I doing tomorrow morning? Do I believe it right here? We need to have that belief here. We need to have that faith that God can do what He says He can do. And I'm not just talking about healing. Those are the verses I use. But I'm talking about everything. God can deliver us. God can guide us through that minefield. God can carry us. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. God sent Holy Spirit to indwell in those who believe in Him, to live inside me. You know, a long time ago, I thought God was too far away, too busy, too important to bother with me. Now, some of you guys are more important, so I'm sure He talks to you and He deals personally with you, but not me, because I'm not worth it. Fortunately, I don't believe that anymore. I don't know how Satan got that into my head, but he did. But I know God loves me. He loves you. Every single one of you. I don't care what you've done, what you've said, what you've believed in the past. God loves you. And once you accept His Son as your personal Lord and Savior, He sends the Holy Spirit to live in you, to give you power, to guide you, to teach you. The way I was brought up was pretty much do things on your own. Do things on your own. When I think from the time I was 15 years old on, I worked. And my parents were both gone working all the time. I had to take care of my three brothers. I had to do a lot of stuff around the house. I went in the Marine Corps. Marine Corps teaches you, be ready to take over the next person's job. Be ready to be independent. Be ready to do things for your own. I went into the police department for 13 years. I was by myself most of the time. Where I worked, your backup was 20 minutes away. In 20 seconds, you're dead, so 20 minutes is not going to do you any good. You're on your own. You handle it or it's not getting handled. That's what I was taught all my life. That's not the way God works. He sent His Holy Spirit to live in me. I have the Holy Spirit available to me. You have the Holy Spirit available to you to guide you, to give you strength. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but He who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Here's a very familiar verse here. It's also Luke 12:11-12. And when they bring you into the synagogues and to rulers and authorities, take no thought as to how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour that what you ought to say. We want to come up with slick ways to tell people about God. We want to come up with slick ways to minister to people. We don't need to. God's Word is more powerful than anything that we're going to come up with. And right here, God's telling us that He will send His Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't study your Bible. You shouldn't learn Scripture. You should. So that you can recall these things. But the Holy Spirit is going to have you recall them. The Holy Spirit's going to guide your tongue if you let Him have control. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. We've got to let Him have control. I would challenge you today to take this hymn and apply it to tomorrow, to apply it to next week, next month, next year. Take these verses that we talked about this morning and look at them and ask God this morning, God, have thine own way. You know, I'm serious. Who do you want walking you through that minefield? You want God walking you through it? Or you want somebody walking through it that doesn't know anything about it? That's me. I'm 44 years old. I'm really, really wise. Well, I've got a lot of wisdom up here, a lot of knowledge. I can lead myself through this life just fine. I just do great. No problem whatsoever. No. I want God to lead me through this. And I challenge you to look at this. And even future hymns, I want you to look at them and realize what these people are speaking to us about. Apply the Scriptures to them and apply them to your life. I mean, that's what we're here this morning. I know in some instances people are going to church out of some obligation, where they feel that if I go to church, it's counterbalancing the bad things that I did, and this is a way I can be good. Some people are going because their parents made them go, whatever. That's not what we're here for. We're here to meet with God, to learn more about God, to praise God, to walk with God. And I challenge you to do that. And take what's said up here. Take these songs. Listen to them. Write them down. Study them. Put them in your heart so that you can follow God. We're going to sing this song again. And I hope that you look at it in a different light. And if you would like to come up and pray, please do so. If you don't know what salvation is and you'd like to know, if you want to know how you can be saved and spend eternity in heaven, please come up and be glad to talk to you, or we can have somebody else talk to you. But I want you to look at this differently this morning. I want you to praise God this morning with this song. And I want you to heartfelt, humbly put these words in your heart and pray them to God as you sing them this morning. God, have thine own way.